tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Hello, world. What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken once again on the Fight Bananas podcast, and it is here. Fight week, fight weekend, days, hours, minutes. We are so close to UFC 249. We're here. We did it. We made it through the month of April. Cancellations, Fight Island, pandemics, Corona. There's been many buzzwords. We thought it was going to be Khabib and Ferguson for the fifth time. But guys, we're here. UFC 249 this Saturday night, live on pay-per-view, the ESPN app. Go get it. You know, just go get it. The prelims are literally bananas. I've talked to John Anik, Laura Sanko. I've talked to so many UFC fighters about how dynamic the prelims are. It's the GOAT prelims. You ready? There you go. You heard it here first. Quote me. Come at me on Twitter at David Van Auken, Facebook, Instagram at David Van Auken, spelled correctly. It is the GOAT prelims of all time. Pettis Cowboy 2. You got heavyweight matchups. You got Verdum back in the octagon. You got the karate hottie Michelle Watterson versus Carlo Esparza. Come on! Two fights I really want to just throw some light to. Nico Price, Vicente Luque. That is an insane rematch. And then the last one I definitely want to name real quick. Charles Boston Strong Rosa was on the Fight Bananas podcast around 2-3 weeks ago. He is great interview, great guy, great damn chef, and an awesome fighter. Versus Thug Nasty Bryce Mitchell. Are you kidding me? Like, that's the GOAT prelims. That could be the pay-per-view. You know, there's been multiple shows, Showtime, Pettis, and Cerrone main evented. And they could do one of those, like, you know, a legend, Pettis and Cerrone, who puts a icing on their Hall of Fame career. They could take that so many different ways. Verdum's a Hall of Famer, probably. It's just, it's bananas. It's crazy. But we're here, UFC 249. Guys, we got a special guest coming on. Karma Worthy. He knows something about knockouts. How about that first round knockout at UFC 241? I think it was the Stipe DC night. I just remember Karma was a big underdog. Got a first round knockout. It was awesome. Big ups to him. It was, Devontae Smith. Yeah, Devontae Smith, first round. So much to talk to him about. Just the rise of his career. Of course, UFC 249. We're going to get into that for sure. I'm going to break some other things down with him. My main man, Karma Worthy, is on the Fight Bananas podcast. But before we talk to Karma, let's thank a couple of our sponsors. First of all, Warhammer Fightwear. Check out Warhammer Fightwear at warhammerfightwear.com or hit them up on the Amazon app. They got some of the best gear in all of mixed martial arts. I'm talking about stuff for the guys, the ladies, and the kids. Make sure to check them out at warhammerfightwear.com. And last but not least, Fusion CBD Products. Make sure you get the six-pack of their water right now at FusionCBDProducts.com. Six packs of Fusion CBD water for $19.50. Check out Fusion CBD Products today. All right, guys, here we go. Fight Bananas Podcast. My main man, Karma Worthy. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. Can't complain.
Very good, very good. First, let's kind of start it. We've got the big UFC 249. We'll get into that all. My main man, Phil Rowe. It was so crazy. We've just been talking a lot lately. Big things are happening for him really, really soon in the UFC and all. And, you know, we talked, and then we got up on Facebook Live, and we're just chatting. He's like, man, one of the realest. Like, one of my guys. Like, no one really, like, my top two, three. He goes, Karma Worthy. I was like, really? I was like, tell me a story. So he told me a story off air, and I was like, man, I got to get him on the podcast. I haven't, you know, really talked to you ever before. I was like, I'll definitely get him on. So for one, let's start there. How did your relationship become with Phil Rowe? And then two, you gotta tell me a good Phil story. He's got millions of them. You know what I mean?
I mean, Phil Rowe's cut up. He's just straight cut up. But no, I got to know him from when we were at the Fight Club. I think he was coming up when he was like he was working in West Virginia, I think, and he just right. he would always like jump around and go to different gyms and just train at people. And he was always just good spirit. Like, he was always just a good dude to be around and stuff. So I always liked him. He had positive energy and stuff. And we kind of just fit off. And he was just always cut up, man. He was always right. a fun person to have around the gym.
Absolutely, man. So what's a good Phil Rowe story? Someone that maybe never heard before.
He's going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say it. So Phil Rowe, he's big time jiu-jitsu guy. He loves jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And I have this trap that I – and I catch jiu-jitsu guys. They're good at jiu-jitsu. I catch them in bulldog chokes, which is kind of embarrassing.
Right.
I caught Phil Rowe in it twice.
Woo! I love that.
Let's grapple now. Oh my God. I remember, I'm pretty sure I was a blue belt at the time. I think he was a purple belt. And I caught him in two bulldog chokes. And you're like big brother. it was funny, though.
Oh my goodness. And he's, like you said, he is unreal on the ground. Like, one of the best in the UFC on the mat. He's going to show a lot of welterweights this year and next year what it is to be on the mat. So that's extreme right there. All right. Yeah, so
in a while, so I'm pretty sure he give me some real trouble. And he's like, well, he's a weight class above me. He's starting to grab him with some world class guys.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure he's really grown into his frame too. He's always been a big, strong guy, but he looks much bigger and much stronger now. So
great
if
point.
If I grab him again, that bulldog choke him, I'd take a picture of him and make it my Instagram right. for like a month or two.
Yeah. Profile that for sure. But you are right; it's a good call. Yeah, I've probably known Phil and I've seen him around the circuit. One of his last fight before the contender, right? Island fights. I was there live doing media stuff. His body has like a total transformation from 2 years ago. Yeah. He's lean and mean. He's cut. He's like, one of those granite guys now. It's just, he's really transformed his body. He doesn't waste 170 at all. Everything is there. You know what I mean? So,
try to get to 55.
Ooh.
He's the fight at 55.
He did that, yeah, like, 3 years ago.
That's rough.
I don't think Phil's ever going back down to 155. Oh my goodness. But okay, man, let's talk about you. I saw, just looked around the history, 33 years young. One thing I really loved about you, man, is me as a father of four, working, grinding all the time, but I saw your Instagram and like almost every UFC fighter, and no offense to anyone else, but like every UFC fighter, that's their main headline. It's like UFC fighter. Your Instagram profile is father, husband, UFC fighter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, that's the real stuff. You know?
Right.
I mean, I am a UFC fighter, but I mean, I'm a father first. I have four kids and, my husband, like that's just how it is. Like, I'm a
right.
teacher. I'm a teacher, former UFC fighter. When I'm done being a UFC fighter, I'll still be hopefully teaching martial arts and stuff. So I'm a UFC fighter. That is good. But like, everyone always knows, I have a blue check. Everyone knows that. So I can write the other stuff.
I love that. You said you had four kids. What age groups? What ages are they? We got four here.
Yeah. So I have 15.
Okay.
15 years, 12, 8 and like almost 2.
Wow.
So the three oldest ones are like my half kids.
Okay.
Are step kids.
Right.
Step kids. And the youngest one is my biological daughter. So they're all just my kids though.
Right, right. 100, man. That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. Wow. So yeah, I really love that. And then just the grind. I saw how many, turning pro, I think 2012 in that range. You had an amateur fight 2009. Like, you've been on this for a minute. It doesn't come easy, especially in MMA. There's no like roadmap. There's no like, hey, if you're a basketball player, you go to Duke and you go to the right. NBA, right? There's no guidelines for MMA. So I loved your hustle to get to the show. Everyone knows you took the fight 5 days notice, big underdog, get the win, and now we're ready to keep it going. So I just would love for you to, just tell us through that hustle, that story of you grinding from 2012, and now it's 2020, and you were about to be on UFC 249. You had, I think, two matchups, if I'm not right. Not one, but two, right?
Right? Oh, shit. I was so mad when that fight got canceled. No, I mean, like, again, that's just part of the journey for me. Like
right.
that's just how it is. Like, it's part of fighting. Fighting is a roller coaster itself. Fights themselves are roller coasters. So, like, I mean, like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, I'm just, you have to just sit back and see the larger picture. Like,
yep.
You can get frustrated. or you can just enjoy the ride until you die. And like personally, like, you're going to die eventually. We're all getting to death eventually. So I mean, like, I'm like, I'd rather enjoy it. I can be, I mean, like, you know, that doesn't mean I don't take things seriously and I don't focus and I don't hustle to get to what I want. Right. But once things get out of my control, like, and that's why I take in my fight career. Like, I've always tried to understand and change the control of things I can, and the things I can't control, just let things go. So the more you think about that with fighting, the more it translates into my life, and the easier things get. Like, I'm like a monk and shit. People are like, yo, I'm like, yeah, man, shit. Shit's going to happen. It's going to happen.
That's your new fight nickname, comma, monk worthy. You know, that could ride out. That could ride out.
My mom would probably like that one better than Death Star. She'll be Death Star.
That's funny. It was just May 4th, too. So,
I know it was all about that.
Right. So when on UFC 249 that you were supposed to fight one or two, and of course one of them was Michael Johnson. The picture was up, you know, yeah, it was a done deal until all this corona pandemic happened. You know, Michael Johnson's a great name, great fighter, been around the industry, you know, fought Diaz and Dustin and even Gaethje, whose main event in this card, he's been around. So that was a big step up.
Man, well, he beat Tony Ferguson. People forget that. Michael Johnson beat Tony Ferguson. He's his only loss.
Wow, really? Like 2011? Right.
8 years ago. It was the anniversary was today. 8 years ago,
Cinco de Mayo,
lost to Michael Johnson.
Wow, that's a – you can't get – so he's fought the best, literally the best lightweights in the world. So when I saw that fight get announced, I was like, I love that fight. It's a great fight. You and Michael, that's a great fight, and it's a huge step up for you. You know, is that something that you want, hopefully, to just get re-triggered back up in the summer, you versus Michael, or is it, you know, just moving on to greener pastures?
I know they lined him up to fight somebody else. He has another opponent lined up, I think, for the 12th. So, like, what happened, like, I never got re-offered him after the fights got canceled. I did get offered a fight. It was 3 weeks out from the fight. I got offered a fight on the 12th. But my problem was, like, I had planned so much stuff to happen after my last fight. And, like, I was supposed to be moving my gym.
Right.
So I was in transition of moving and this pandemic's going on. So I didn't have all the people that I could use. And I didn't fight.
Right.
And my gym's closed, so I'm not making any money. So I don't have money to hire people to do this. So I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff myself. Like the UFC, like, they didn't give us any money or anything. So I didn't get any money. So I'm like trying to do all this. And then they asked me to fight. I'm like, I can't. I hadn't done anything physical in like 2 weeks. I had just been moving stuff. I hadn't hit pads or sparred in 2.5 weeks, like, since my fight got canceled. Because I didn't think, I mean, like, when my fight got canceled, I didn't think anything would be happening until like June.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I need to like take care of the home front. Like, okay, I have a family. Like, again, my gym is closed, so I'm not making income from that. And that's how I make my income with that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to transfer my gym over, see if I can like get some private, start doing like Zoom classes with certain students, stuff like that.
Right.
That was my biggest agenda. And then they hit me up like, oh, you're going to fight in 3 weeks. I'm like, I can't, dude. I'm like, first, I'm like, I'm not in shape. I'll take short notice fights as long as I've been training.
Right.
As in, like normally I train, I spar 3 times a week. That's almost every week I spar 3 times a week. Wow. One boxing, one MMA, one kickboxing. I'll do that, and I'll grapple at least 1 or 2 times or 3 times a week, guaranteed. And I'll do a hard wrestling class. That's usually I usually do that like continually, either whether I have a fight coming up or not. Not as intense, unless if I have a fight, it's a little bit more specific towards me.
Right.
But I hadn't done that in like 3 weeks, you know, and like, so that means like, I mean, I wasn't really that much heavier in weight, but my conditioning and stuff, I'm like, nah, I'm like, it wasn't the right move. And like, my manager understood it and stuff. And then they sit there making shows in June. I thought, okay, just put me on a show and put me on a card in June. I'm like, yeah. I'm officially moved back into my gym. I'm back to training. So I'm like, I'll be ready.
Right.
Like, just hit me up. So like, I just got to stay ready. So I'm trying to eat my shit.
It's a really good topic that you kind of brought up there about two fighters I saw right away, Stipe Miocic and Michael Chiesa. They're like, guys, I'm not fighting during this pandemic. It's not normal. I'm not with my gym. I'm my regular training partners. And just, you know, home life is different. And then there's some fighters that are, you know, picking up fights a week of or a couple of days out and all that. So how, you know, and there's no right answer, right? You know what I mean? There's no every fighter's different, and there's a reason to fight or not to fight. But you see both sides, and I would love, you know, because there's a lot of people that don't get that, you know what I mean? Like, if they're not in the industry or they're not in the business or not a fighter themselves, they're like, you know, they would, some, you know, just regular folk would be like, man, take the fight. You're a fighter. But then, you know, you don't, I always say this to other people, like, if you're a mailman and it's like you don't have enough gas, you know, to drive around and deliver the mail, it's like, oh, go to work. It's like, no, right? Like, it's crazy that people don't understand what all entails to becoming a professional UFC fighter.
Yeah. I mean, like, and for me, like, I have no problem fighting during it. Like, it's just the way that, I mean, I trained up for that fight. I was training, like, during quarantine. Like, no gyms here were open in Pittsburgh. I had to, like, bring in specific people and, like, do all this stuff. My camp was really small. And, like, just like I said, I'm okay with fighting in June or maybe even end of May. Like, they have me, like, May 30th or something.
Right.
My big thing was when they told me, when they offered me that fight, I was just not – I hadn't been doing anything. I was just moving shit. Like, and I had to move, like, cages and floor mats and all this and taking stuff apart. And I'm just doing all this shit myself because, again, pandemic's going on, so people aren't really getting out of their house. People aren't really coming to help you as much because they're not really about that because people are just playing safe, which I can understand.
Right.
So I mean, I think it's a little bit easier if you're an established fighter. If you got money, you're like, I'm not fighting tonight. I'm safe. But like you know, I got one UFC fight. I'm like, I'll fucking fight three times. I don't give a shit. Like they're giving us the test and shit, right? Yeah, I'll fight. Yeah, I'm fine. Dude. So. For me, it just didn't work out at that. And that's what kind of sucks. Like, it just really, this whole situation just kind of like threw a monkey wrench in. And I was like kind of down on myself. Cause at first I was going to take the fight. I'm like, I'll take the fight. And I talked to my coaches and my coach was like, dude, I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but it was like my coach was like, that's not an easy fight. That's a fight that you want to prepare for first. And second, that's a fight that you want to be in shape for. It's not just a fight you just get up and say, oh, yeah, I'll fucking fight that guy and go in there and get your ass kicked and shit or something like that. So
I
took the smarter approach because me, I'm more like a let me bang bro type guy. I was just like, yo, chill with that shit. So, and once I really started to get into like moving the gym and have to make the decisions because, you know, being a small business owner, like you have to like make those decisions yourself. They can make or break your business because after the fight, I still have to come back and like provide for my family. So that has to be a borderline. Now it'd be different if they were like, oh, we're going to pay you $100,000. Fuck it. Someone offered me that type of money, I'll fight tomorrow. But I'm not the one making that type of money. Like,
not yet.
Yeah, soon. Not yet. Exactly. I got to warm up. I'm like, if I'm not making that type of money, I can't. The risk isn't worth the reward at that time.
Right. Yeah, same thing. Like the same analogy, not the mailman, but like a test. If you want to become a doctor and you got to take this big test, you study all year, you go to school for multiple years. You don't just, if they say, hey, here's the big test. I'm only 1 year in. I got to graduate 4 more years. They're like, nah, right. You know, it's the same thing. It's crazy, but
everything.
Oh, absolutely, my man. Okay, so let's get into it a little bit. UFC 249 is just stacked. I talked to so many people. I just had John Anik on the show, Laura Sanko, and we just really broke down a lot of the card. So I don't want to break down every fight, whatever, but I would love a couple fights from you that you're just so amped about. You know, of course, the main event is in your division, that lightweight champ, Gaethje and Ferg, just an unreal, the most violent fight ever, Dana White said it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can jump on that one. But what's another fight on that card that you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to see?
The Cowboy versus Anthony Pettis fight, but this is a rematch, but they're upper weight class,
right?
So I want to see how this changes things because they're up at 170. Like everyone's body operates different when you don't have to cut as much weight. It can be a good thing or a bad thing. So I like to see like how it goes that way.
Yeah,
I think Cowboy gets the advantage. Just proper weight class at 170. He's a proper 175.
It that is an intriguing fight because Showtime Pettis and kind of like, well, maybe another fight is Uriah Hall. Like these guys, when Pettis now seems like he can put it on and defeat any man living. Like he can defeat Stipe Miocic on a high night. When he's at his best, no one get closest to Showtime. But sometimes it seems like the last fight, it was like Diego Fierro. Just seems like he didn't want to be there, right?
Dude, I bet $200 on him because I saw he was the underdog. I was like, get the fuck. I mean, I've trained with Anthony Pettis. Like, I brought Duke Rufus out to my gym earlier this year for a seminar. Like, as soon as I saw he was the underdog, I'm like, he's going to fucking, I'm like, Pettis is going to kill this guy. But, like, it just looked, it was like, it looked like he had an off night or something. It was just really weird, man. Right. It was really, really weird.
It happens to him like every third or fourth fight that happens, and then kind of now the same thing with Cowboy, who every MMA fan, every fighter, everyone in the media is nothing but love and respect, of course, for Cowboy, what he's done. But of course, the last three, you know, he hasn't looked the same. But then I always tell people say that to me, I'm like, it is Conor McGregor, Justin Gaethje, and Tony Ferguson. That's Murderer's Row. You know what I mean? Like,
with Cowboy, I just think he just doesn't care, and that can be a problem. I think when you just don't care, you can fight some guys. When you just, fuck it, I'll fight them. But like, he fought all three of those guys within like a 9 month spread or some shit. I'm like, what about your body, dude? Like the way like the Gaethje fight ended and the Tony Ferguson fight, like Jesus, like he needs to like. Yeah. But he's like, fuck it, I'll fight. What is it? What did he say in this interview the other day? I'm gonna tell Dana White I want to fight three times in a fucking week.
I know. He's going to stay in Jacksonville, Florida. He said he's going to buy a trailer, and if anyone misses weight or can't or gets the disease right at 155, 170, he says he's cutting weight, added weight. He said he'd fight at middleweight for the first time. Cowboy's cowboy.
He just – and when you're like that and you're fighting the best guys in the world, you'll have off nights because these guys are fucking ready to go, and you're just – but you're not like saying you're not training. He's just like, no, he did. He got John Wood. John Wood is the head coach at Syndicate.
Okay.
John, he's trained with John Wood. So this may switch things up. And now this is going to be John Wood versus Duke Rufus. And that's two world-class coaches crashing with these fires. So that's why I'm really, really intrigued to see how that.
Yeah, no, that's a great gym up there. That's a really, really good gym. So, let's hit on it real quick. And it feels like me and one of my guys, the professor, we did a UFC 249 breakdown, and we picked every fight. And almost everyone, I'm not saying everyone, but a lot of, Ferguson's the favorite. He's the favorite. A lot of the fans, a lot of the, even the fighters think him. I'll spill the beans on my side. I think I'm going Gaethje on this one. It's more a couple things. It's a gut feeling for one. And two, I just feel like Gaethje is going to press Ferguson like he's never been pressed before. And I think Ferguson, when you're used to, I'm a basketball guy, so when you're used to a full court press, when you're that team, that team never loves to get full court press because they're doing it because it's one of their almost weaknesses, or it's just one of those things. Like, I think Gaethje is just going to bring a pace and a power that Ferg's never really seen or touched before. And it's just, I think Gaethje puts him down. I do. That's my call.
I think it's gonna be close, but I don't. This is the thing that won me over. So I was at first I was going with Gaethje. I'm like, I think Gaethje's gonna knock him out because Tony Ferguson's okay with getting hit.
Right.
He's okay with getting hit.
Right.
He's like, you can hit me. You give a fuck. I'm like, you can't get hit by Justin Gaethje. But the problem is Gaethje's okay with getting hit too.
Right.
But Tony Ferguson doesn't just punch people. He elbows people. And he teeps people in the stomach. Those make your cardio go down extremely fast. Okay. And Tony Ferguson's fight IQ is extremely high. Like, Gaethje has a high fight IQ, too. It's his pressure. Tony Ferguson's fight IQ, the stuff that he can do, it's crazy. Like, just the stuff that he can do. I think he's going to attack Gaethje's stomach because that's what Eddie Alvarez did and Poirier did. And they both attacked his stomach. And if he starts throwing those teeps to his stomach and he starts hollowing out, he's going to elbow him. And once you get cut, they'll have to stop the fight, whether you're unconscious or not. If you have a big gash in your face, they'll have to be like, fight's over. So, and I think it's going to be Tony Ferguson by like Edward Scissorhands slash. Just be blood everywhere. Because Gates is not going to go unconscious. He's not going to go down. He's just going to be looking like... He's gonna look like a cat went to a pillow or something. It's gonna be bad.
But I've done this podcast. I think this is around like episode 223. And what I'm like, I think decent, or what I'm known for is like analogies. And I always bring up sport analogies to make up something or to make an example. Right? That's got to be the best analogy so far on this damn podcast. Edward Scissorhand face slashed him.
You know, I need to. I'm gonna make sure I show this to my teammates and my students, because I use analogies all the time. Those are dumb analogies. I'm like, no, analogies are good. Thank you.
I know, man. I love that stuff. Like, people don't get. I'm like, I like to go far in. Like, I actually had like a relentless thing about your career, and I was gonna bring you and Michael Jordan together. And people like might not understand it, but I get it, man. You went the Michael Jordan route. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got you on that. So I'm an analogy guy. That's top notch. That's top notch right there. We'll cut this and piece this. We'll put this everywhere. I'm telling you, man. Comma worthy, man. I'm so pumped. So you're trying to get back in there in June. That's kind of the goal for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking shit on Instagram now. I'm like, yo, y'all hiring for them June cars? Like, yeah. I'm ready to go.
Same thing. I talked to a couple of fighters. One was like Chase Hooper, and he was adamant about one way or another. Would you want to fight on a fight island and kind of have that unique presentation for the first time ever? It's like, you know, it's only going to be...
Nah, man, I'll fight wherever. In the basement, fucking lot. Like the White House, wherever the hell they take us, I don't give a shit. Like now it's like, you know, like it's whoever can have the most money. So some millionaire's mansion, fuck it, we'll go there and fight. I'm cool with that. Like, wherever they can get the fight approved, that I'm going to go there and fight.
That's a good idea. Like, I haven't even heard that one yet.
Like the fighting. But I think the fight lost its juice. Like UFC 249. If they would have had the card when I was supposed to fight on April 18th, yeah. If during that crazy time, it would have had massive juice. Now I think like the threat of the coronavirus, not downplaying the coronavirus, but the threat, people are back. You know what I mean? People are back. Like, things are kind of normal. Like, people are like outside. I've seen motherfuckers riding motorcycles and shit. Like, the cities are back. They're like, people are kind of, not that they're open up completely, but a lot of states are back in their yellow stage and stuff. So it's not as like when the crazy thing I was super excited about was, like, I was thinking, I was like, fuck, I'm gonna go down in history. This is fucking fly. I'm like, yo, yeah. I'm gonna be in history books. They're gonna this shit, and my kids are gonna be able to read this and tell their grandkids in a history walkthrough, like, oh, during the world pandemic, the UFC put an event on it. This motherfucker was on. Like, that's your granddad. Like, yeah. that's the big thing I was kind of disappointed about, but. I mean, the rest of this, everything else will go down in sports history.
Right.
Even though it'll still go down a little bit in world history, but there was a boxing event in Venezuela or some crazy shit like a week ago, and they like sprayed the guys down. They sprayed them down. So I mean, like it's like everyone's putting stuff on. Everyone's getting ready to do stuff. Yes, the UFC's good. I'm just kind of like heartbroken that we didn't get to get that April 18th one, because I think that would have really, really like shook into history a little bit.
And like, you can only kind of unveil the card so many times. It's like, you know, for one, the Habib and Ferguson thing that they should never try to make again. Just let it go, UFC. Dana, just let it go. It's not happening. So when that failed and then they kind of redid it, Gaethje took it over and like, boom, we're going to California. It was like, oh, it was like you said, it was hot. It was like, wow, they're going to do it. They're going to, you know, find an Indian reserve. They're going to make this happen. The world was going crazy and talking about it. You know, like, I do agree with you. It's still huge. It's a really, really vital show for the organization and to kind of to get things back going. I almost feel like this is a kind of like they're putting the flag in the 50-yard line at the Ohio State University. It's like, we're back. Like, we're here. The UFC is here. Right. We're at the 50-yard line. We're taking over. So I'm pumped, man. The whole card is stacked. That's one thing, too. I'm just such a, like, Charles Rosa, you know, Thug Nasty, Michelle Watterson, Greg Hardy. There's heavyweights. There's Verdum on the card everywhere.
I'm a huge Francis Ngannou fan. I'm like, that fight's going to be fire,
oh,
man.
Oh, so good.
Crazy, man. It's going to be a crazy, crazy fight. That's going to be a very interesting fight to see how that turns out.
Ngannou puts him away, I think. I really do think that.
I think he does, too. He has. I think he's been training out there at the Performance Institute. Like, I follow him on social media, just like, not to be weird or anything, but just the way that his body has transformed, like just how it looks, just the way that it looks. Like, I think he's going to be a different type of dude when he gets in there next time.
Oh my! It's like, you know, the movie. Did you ever see that movie like 30 years ago? It was like Twins. It was like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like Danny DeVito.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, The Rock could play the small guy. Like, Nagano's the Arnold Schwarzenegger, and The Rock would be playing Danny DeVito. Like, Nagano's a monster. And he's not. And I feel like he went through with the two fight losing streak. One was to Stipe for 25 minutes, and that's just, to me, that's a, I don't ever like saying a great loss, but that's just, you put tools in the tool shed on that. Like, that's a great 25 minutes of work. The Derek Lewis thing, you chalk it up and you just throw it away and you never look back at it.
Mental. That's, fighting is more mental than anything. That right. was a mental hiccup, like a huge mental hiccup.
Right. But since that, 3-0, three first round knockouts. Like, he's, I feel like he's back. And I know that this fight, a lot of people were itching to make this the interim heavyweight championship. I'm kind of happy they didn't. I'm happy they kind of leaving Stipe a little bit there. But this is absolutely number one contender. Whoever wins this fight fights Stipe, DC, or just Stipe. So this is big. Yeah. But, this was good. This was good. We'll definitely have you back on again. When that stuff happens in June, when that breaks, I'll make some phone calls, and then we'll get you back on again. And, maybe it's Michael Johnson, maybe it's someone else, but I can't wait to see you back in the cage, man. It was fun. First time in, first round knockout. We can't wait, man. We're big fans here at Fight Bananas.
Definitely, man. I'm definitely looking forward to it, man. Just can't wait to, like I said, get back to training, get back to normal, and just kind of get back to hurt. I haven't hurt anybody in a long time. I was like, almost been a year. I'm like starting to go crazy. I'm like, it's starting to make me feel funny.
I hear that. Plug your gym real quick. Plug the gym address or Instagram handle, something of that nature.
Yeah, man. My gym, if you're around Pittsburgh, the Academy Martial Arts and Fitness on Instagram, we're Pittsburgh Academy Martial Arts. Where we at? We just moved. So it's 2424 Woodville Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Of course, you can follow me on Instagram under come on, Death Star Worthy. Same thing on Twitter. I get in with my fans. I like fans and stuff. I connect with fans and stuff. I'm actually going to be doing an Instagram live for the fights this weekend. So I'll be live watching the fights and stuff until I get the main event. The main car, I'll probably turn off and shit. I want to pay attention. Like, I'd watch it for the prelims. The prelims with Pettis and him are the main event for the prelims. The prelims are all lit up. So I'm going to go Instagram live to get. So if you, any fans out there, you want to sit there, ask me some questions, don't say no ignorant shit either. I'm going to tell you that right now. I respond back ignorant shit. But
it will happen. I guarantee you that, man. Like, people always, they'll hit up the DMs here. They always ask questions. Sometimes I even ask that when I get a fighter on, they ask questions. And it's like, you get, man, you know, like chicken salad or taco salad. It's like, what are we talking about here, guys? I get the dumbest questions in my DMs, man. I really do. There's Luke Nico Price is on a prelim. We didn't even mention that. It's stacked. It really is, man.
That Luke, I forgot I liked him. He has some of the weirdest knockouts, dude. His knockouts, I'd be sitting there scratching my head like, the fuck just happened? Like, guys getting their face stuck between his legs. He up kicking people. I'm dying. Like, yo.
His offense reminds me like Wonder Boy Thompson and Lyoto Machida in one. It's like, it's a weird thing. He's got power, but crowd, it's nasty. So
who's he fighting?
Nico Price. That's fire too. That's a rematch again.
Fight, man. It's gonna be a really good fight, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. But man, I'll catch you up on Instagram Live Saturday night. I might jump in there. We'll go with it. But man, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, and we'll tell more funny stories.
Be on.
All right, my man.
Ask Phil Railroad that bulldog joke. We'll get mad. Please,
I got you on that. I got you. TikTok. TikTok, guys, we are here UFC 249 Saturday night, guys. That was comma worthy. New nickname, the Monk. So comma the Monk Worthy. Hey, he said his mama will like it, and come on, you always got to help your mom. It's Mother's Day Sunday, so you always got to protect, and much love to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day Sunday. Wow, that was fun. Just stories galore, a lot of UFC 249 breakdowns, just a lot of great stuff. Phil Rowe stories, why he's not fighting on this card, could have been fighting, and who was it going to be? Just tons of just packed bananas information. There you go. So make sure you give him a follow for sure on Instagram, TheDeathStar_1. So there we go, guys. This has been another episode of Fight Bananas Podcast, where we are crazy about fights. I'm David Van Auken. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know, spell it correctly. David Van Auken. All right? Guys, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the fights. It's back. UFC's back. MMA's back. Combat Sports' world is back. It's going to be a crazy week. We're going to be a packed week. We're going to do a couple live shows, too. We're going to have we got two, three interviews lined up, you know, hopefully from winners from UFC 249 and beyond. So it's going to be an amazing week. Stay with us. And kind of in closing, real quick, what an absolutely awesome week. All four branches of the Fightin' Ass podcast is all up and running now, guys. We got the professional wrestling podcast. That Guy's Wrestling podcast just dropped the Money in the Bank preview. We got my man, the professor, with the debut episode of One More Round, the all boxing podcast here underneath the Fight Bananas podcast. All right. Then we got Bare Knuckles and Bruise, where they're killing it, crushing numbers, live views on Facebook. They usually do it on Saturday night, YouTube, Facebook. And then, of course, it becomes a podcast on iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts. Bare Knuckles and Bruise, they're co hosted by Vince Anderson and Puma Starr. And those episodes are absolute fire. And then last but definitely not least, brand new episode with my main man, GK, Garrett Kerman. He's throwing down bets. He's the inside distance about pro betting on the combat sports world. Who do you take? Who do you not take? A parlay? Who has the best odds, worst odds? It's a dynamite show. And of course, you got me, Fight Bananas Podcast. I'm Dave Van Alken. So just unbelievable. Keep on supporting all of our sponsors out there. Thank you so much. Mako Tech Mouth Guards. Make sure you get Mako Tech Mouth Guards. All of the other podcasts, all the other hosts, support them, follow them, show them a lot of love. And show my main man, Kama Worthy, tons of love. We're out. This has been the Fight Bananas Podcast.